being away proved too much for Jesse, too much for Jesse. He worried about Frankie, so he's leaving his life, being on the run. Tad said he's leaving, but Jesse's coming back to find. His wife and his son, the town he left behind 20 years ago. Jesse's coming on that train back to Pine Valley, coming backwards on that train. Watch out, train's going backwards now. Instead of going to Toronto, and I'll be with him when he gets off that train to Pine Valley, if I don't get hit by it first. Watch out, I'd rather be with him here than be in boring Toronto.
That's right, people. All my children is Angie and Jesse's alone. They meet this week, people, and we gonna talk about it. This week on All My Children, Angie finally sees Jesse.
Jesse finally sees Angie.
And Angie and Jesse finally see each other. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your guest host, Jordan Hudson.
Yeah, Jordan. Yeah, Jordan. We are very excited to do the podcast for the week ending February 15, 2008.
And why are we like so happy about this week?
Because
Jesse and Angie finally meet. I gotta tell you, I have not felt this good about All My Children in so long.
Very long.
Oh my God, I'm loving it. I got, look.
He has goosebumps. Every time I talk to him, he has the goosebumps.
Oh my God, it's all about Jesse and Angie, and amazing. I love it.
I cannot watch these two together in a scene without crying. Like buckets, like rivers.
This is just what the doctor ordered.
Have you been watching American Idol at all?
This season?
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting because I kind of given up on it, but I gotta tell you, I've been a little interested this.
Well, I bring it up for a point. There is a point here.
Go ahead. I want to see the connection.
There was that one girl, the girl that lost her voice.
Yes.
Who I love her.
Uh-huh.
When she found out that she made it past that day that she was going to go to the final 50 or whatever.
Right.
She started crying so hard that the tears flew out of her head, and you could see them project mm-hmm. onto the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's me when I watch Jesse and Angie. I swear
that was a bizarre connection.
But it's true. That's exactly how I feel when I watch those two.
Really?
It's like, and you know, like, it's interesting because, Jordan, you have to set me straight here because I'm thinking this has to be some kind of sweeps week because we had the Campbell's Soup Fashion Show.
It's February. Sweeps month.
So sweeps month.
Sweeps month is February, and that's when all the stuff finally happens on your TV shows.
So tell me about this. What happens? I don't really know.
Well, this is where they pull out all the guns and they do all their, like, important stuff, like Jesse and Angie finally meeting so that the viewers will tune in so the ratings will go up and they could charge more for advertisement. That's how sweets months go.
Like, do the advertisers, this is what I understand. The advertisers base their purchases on the numbers that the ratings
get. Yeah, exactly. They're not going to pay money for a show that nobody's watching because then nobody's going to see their, like, commercials and
so
stuff.
This is like taking the measurements, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, yes. But this is my problem with the whole Nielsen stuff and everything because they need to figure out a new way of discovering, like, what the true ratings are because it's like one household represents, like, a whole big area. And that one person might be watching, like, Young and the Restless while everybody in that neighborhood is watching All My Children.
Yeah, so that's a big problem.
That's why. And then in this day and age where people are, like, DVRing their shows or watching it later on SoapNet, I mean, how do you really get an accurate portrayal of how many people are really watching?
My aunt loves to watch it on SoapNet, particularly because they have, like, a lot of soap
commercials in between and a lot of previews and stuff that you don't get on the ABC network television during the day. So, like, I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of fans have been, you know, watching All My Children at night because they can. So I wonder how that affects the daytime ratings.
Yeah, I mean, I think that has a big impact on the ratings. That's why I think, I don't know why the network executives haven't tried to come up with a different way of... I've never felt that the Nielsens were very accurate. I mean, like, I remember when I was little and, like, the Cosby Show was the number one show. Nobody in my neighborhood was watching the Cosby Show.
Oh, that's
And funny. I lived with a bunch of Latins and Blacks, and none of us were watching the Cosby. There was a lot of white people watching the Cosby. I don't know about color people. You know.
I gotta admit, I was watching the Cosby Show.
You were watching the Cosby Show. See, I wasn't.
Lisa Bonet. I love her clothes.
Oh, I like her
and
she's
her
a
makeup.
Freak.
She was awesome. She was so beautiful. Every night I would go to bed, I wake up, I wish I could look like Lisa Bonet. I wish I could look like Lisa Bonet. We digress. Let's talk about the topic of the week, Jesse and Angela Hubbard. So I thought, remember a couple weeks ago, we thought that Jesse and Angie were going to meet on Monday's episode, and you were like, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not
going
to happen.
It's going to happen on Friday.
Right.
So I'm like, okay. So I figured that there was going to be something that happened on Monday that would prevent them from seeing each other.
Yes.
And sure enough, what happened on Monday was basically, as you know, people, Angie went to see Jesse at his grave because
to say goodbye
to Pine Valley.
And to Jesse.
And that was because Joe suggested it, right, Dr. Joe?
Yeah, Joe, well, she said the reason she couldn't stay in Pine Valley anymore, because Joe wants her to stay at the hospital, but... her feeling is like just being back home is bringing up way too many memories of Jesse. So she explained to him she can't stay. And he was like, well, you know, do you guys put closure on you? Because I remember, and he mentioned his mother, Kate Martin, and I wanted to cry. And he said, he goes, I remember when my mother passed away, you know, sister, you got to go and say goodbye and la la. And I was like, because it brought back some memories for me when thinking about Miss Kate Martin.
So she goes and sees Jesse, who happens to be visiting his own grave.
Which is very morbid, but I guess.
Why the hell would Jesse be visiting his own grave?
I don't know. If you had a grave, would you go visit it?
Hell no.
Well,
that is
you'd
creepy.
Be dead and you'd be in the grave. So you
that is creepy
it.
And depressing.
But Jesse was there.
Jesse was there. Yeah. So Angie sees him. And I start to projectile cry, just like the girl from American Idol. Because she's like, Jesse?
I know.
Jesse? I was dying.
And
so then what happens? He sees her and she faints.
And she faints.
Out cold. Cold cocked.
Well, wouldn't
hit
you?
Hit the ground. And I was kind of laughing because it was like snow on the ground. But it was like that fake Pine Valley snow. And it was all kind of getting stuck in her hair.
You know what was better? Well, keep going. I'll tell you what was better than that.
Why? What was better than that?
Well, no, keep telling them what happened and then I'll get to it. What happened next?
What happened next?
Well, Jesse caught Angie, and then he was just, like, you know, holding her, and, like, I guess being this close to her after so long, like, gave her a kiss, and he said everything's going to be all right. I was dying.
I was just dying.
And then he called the paramedics.
Yes.
I thought he was going to call Tad.
Right.
But instead, he called the paramedics. So the paramedics came, and this is what I found funny, was because they did a nice, tight close-up of the paramedics coming in and finding Angie.
Right.
And, like, you could see Angie's head, and as the paramedic was trying to lift her up, and his foot was rubbing, you could see him moving the ground.
Really?
Those were very Dark Shadows special effects.
Oh, my God. What is that?
That was a set of stuff that happened in Dark Shadows, that vampire soap opera with the, you know, back in the 60s.
Yes,
all the bloopers and all the little messed up things. Like, I'm looking at the paramedic, like, getting Angie, and then I'm seeing, like, his foot is, like, moving the fake ground.
Right.
It was so funny to me.
Well, yeah, technically these scenes were not exactly perfection
but
the acting between the two
the acting was
good. And right before that, I forgot to mention, he keeps having these dreams where he's wearing a really bad wig.
Yes, his Jerry Curl
his Jerry Curl fro.
Which I gotta say, it's a little big of a fro because his fro was not that
big
back in the
day. Never that big. So anyway, I mean, basically, I was just crying. So she wakes up in the hospital, right? He takes off.
No, I think she woke up right there with the paramedics because the paramedics said something. She's like, my husband, he's here. And I was
Well, when
dying.
She was back in the hospital, she was swearing that she saw him.
Yeah, well, yeah, she was there. She was with Frankie.
Right.
And they had some beautiful mother and son moments.
Well, it was interesting because he's trying to convince her that it could be Dad.
Yes.
Because They both, he's like, I smelled him. And he's like, but mom, who called the paramedics?
Yes, that was a good point. Thank Brilliant you, Frankie. Point.
Thank you, Quentin. Franklin Quentin Hubbard Jr.
There was a good point on your part.
It was excellent, excellent. So that's when Jesse goes back to where he, to was it Tad's place that he was yes. staying? He was yeah. staying at Tad's place under his basement.
Yeah, because he was not going to leave town without knowing how his Angela's doing.
That's right. So he goes and he has that one final bat nightmare that yes. Angie's being tortured.
Tortured.
She, Debbie Morgan, is screaming and crying, and I'm getting the chills again.
See, look at me too.
Thinking about Angie, yeah. and he's like, no, no.
Let me tell you something. Miss Debbie Morgan is such a phenomenal actress. If y'all have not seen this movie called Eve's Bayou. Eve's Bayou, which was this movie that she did like about, I don't know, maybe like it's been a while with Samuel Jackson.
With Sam, as she would say.
And she was robbed of an Oscar nomination, let alone the Oscar itself for Best Supporting Actress.
That sucks.
See this movie. Because have you seen that?
I haven't seen it. I know. That is terrible.
I'm going to give you my copy.
My favorite movie, Norbit, I've seen, and I have not seen Eve's
Bayou. I'm going to give you my copy of Eve's Bayou. You have to, if you have not, Debbie Morgan gives like this incredible performance that every critic that reviewed this movie, I mean, and it's the kind of performance that just gives you chills. And this is what we got now back on All My Children. This powerhouse actress.
Powerhouse.
Powerhouse.
It's so funny because Miss Tess Mallory, our favorite romance author, she does a recap of All My Children.
Mm-hmm.
You can find her stuff by going to her MySpace page, which is www.myspace.com/TessMallory. And she did recently a February 11th, which was Monday's episode.
Mm-hmm.
And she has Angie, like, because Angie's kind of tough, you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when she has Angie talk to Dr. Joe, Dr. Joe's like, Angie, why don't you go to the gravesite? And she goes, I will. Punch, punch, punch. And she punches Dr. Joe three times. I was cracking up. But it's kind of true. Like, Angie's a tough cookie.
Angie's a
you know
tough
what I'm
cookie.
Saying? So it was pretty true. But anyway, so then what do we have? We have Angie, after she goes to the cemetery,
uh-huh.
she decides to go to Tad's house.
Yes.
To see Tad.
To see Tad.
Now, what was her purpose in going to Tad's? Fill me in. I forgot.
Ooh, what was her purpose? Why did...
Oh, because... You know what? Because didn't Dr. Joe say something about Tad would know or something like that?
Yeah, she... I mean, she went over there with the intense purpose of seeing Tad one last time and then leaving. And then Crystal got involved in the whole thing and convinced her to spend the night.
I have one comment.
What?
Michael E. Knight.
What?
He needs to color his hair and lose a few pounds. I'm going to be brutally honest, people. I love me some Tad. I love me some Michael E. Knight. He's a beautiful man somewhere under there. He needs to do these things. He's on a soap opera.
I'm gonna say this because I said it before and I'll say it again.
What?
I don't like picking on people's weight, but again... Everybody bashes.
No, but listen to what I'm saying.
Everybody always bashes on the women when they put on weight, which annoys me. So you know what?
That's right.
It's time to do it to the men.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
He's a little hefty.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Not a lot of bit.
What's the word they use for women?
You like to say Zaftig, right?
Zaftig
or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, but I agree with you. I mean, it just a little bit. I mean, he should get, you know, to take care of yourself. All it's right. also for health reasons,
I'm
too.
I'm just saying. I don't want to digress too much. But basically, it's kind of funny because Crystal, it's like all week, it's like, how can the writers foil these two?
Yes.
Like, how can they foil Jesse getting away from Angie and Angie getting away from Jesse? Right,
well,
exactly.
Pine Valley.
Right.
And...
So that we can have them meet. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was like twists and turns all week and lots of flashbacks. And I loved the flashbacks.
There were
so many things I forgot about this relationship.
Oh, let me tell you something.
Her giving away Frankie.
Oh, you didn't remember that?
I forgot about that.
Honey, I knew. Let me tell you, Jesse and Angie, I know their whole story because that was one great story. Like when Tad this week told Jesse, was it this week's episode that he told Jesse? You and Angie, that was some love story.
Yes,
like that.
Yes.
And it certainly was. Everything about Jesse and Angie was great. And those flashbacks were great because for the back of the head, there was Grace Garland who played Vera. And I was like, they showed this one flashback. And I loved me some Vera. Remember Vera?
I don't remember her.
Grace Garland, she was... she worked at Foxy's with Jesse. And Jesse and Jenny. And you only got to see the back of Grace Garland's head because she was holding Frankie while they were getting married. I'm like, that's Grace Garland. It was like, I love me.
Well, they had that, but also her parents too. They showed her parents.
Yes, they showed her parents.
Wasn't her mother
on Electric Company?
That's right.
Yes,
Lee
Chamberlain.
I knew I recognized her.
Lee Chamberlain, if I'm not mistaken, she was on. And her father was Huggy Bear.
Who's Huggy Bear?
Starsky and Hutch. Antonio Fargas.
That's right.
Angie's father was Huggy Bear.
How does he know this? People?
And now he's on.
How does he know
everybody
this?
Everybody hates Chris. He's a regular, like a semi-regular.
I love that show. I haven't watched it in a while, but I love that show.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm going to tell you this because this is not a spoiler alert because this is just me like wishing and hoping and a praying. But I'm, because the one thing is.
He's got it right before, people. Yeah,
this has got to, whatever's going on, whatever's keeping Jesse away has to be something monumental and big. And it has to do something with the past because otherwise.
They're not as good as you. It's not going to be what you think. I know what you're going to say.
But it's
and
like,
they're not as good as you.
It won't be as powerful because who would have a vested interest in keeping Jesse away from Angie?
Jordan. Who?
I think that it should be Angie's father. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think they ever found his body.
He is so good, people. Why is this man not writing the show?
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. That was so sweet of you.
It's true.
But look, they never found his body, and he hated Jesse.
They never find his body? He died?
Yeah, I think he got shot and fell over some roof and went into the water or something. My memory is good, but even that I know that he died because he was in charge. He was behind the black baby market ring. You know, selling bait. Frankie's, he sold his own grandson.
I don't remember
He was responsible for, like, bartering his own grandson out. He was not a nice man. So
terrible.
I think that if he was still alive, he would do anything to ruin Jesse and Angie's relationship.
It's like a Michael Cambias, except much better.
Much better. So I'm hoping that's where they're heading with this storyline, because that would be some good stuff. Could you imagine Angie finding out that her father was responsible for keeping the love of her life away from her for 20 years?
You know what? That is so brilliant that I don't even know if it's possible.
She'll shoot him herself.
That is so brilliant, I truly don't know if it's possible.
I'm hoping and a praying, because I love me some Antonio Fargas. I mean, those battles that he used to have with Jesse. Ooh.
Jordan, you should write the writers now and remind them of that possibility. Because they're going to make it some dumbass like Satin Slayer book.
Oh, I hope not. But look, this goes back to what you were saying. Those flashbacks show you how great that show really was.
I'm going to say it again. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Angela Hubbard, Debbie Morgan, wore almost no makeup when she played Angie.
Angie, yeah.
And looked beautiful and real. And I love because all of, like, the stories take place in, like, normal homes.
Yeah.
Like, it's the normal home of the parents. It's not, like, this flashy, fancy, rich, wealthy home. You know, like, nothing's perfect. You know what I'm saying? It looks real. It feels real.
That was all Jackie Babin, the executive producer back then. She was very all about keeping the show real. I mean, her and Agnes Nixon were very much about that, and that was her doing. I mean, I remember reading an article where she said, Jenny's supposed to be poor. She cannot have 10 pairs of jeans. She has 2 pairs of jeans. That's it.
Right.
And that's why you kept seeing Kim Delaney in the same outfits
every
day.
I adore that.
And it was real. It was real. These are some poor people.
Even poor people on the show now still have different pairs of jeans.
I know.
Every day.
Well, it's pathetic. Poor people on the show now don't have jobs, but yet they live in Wildwood with Julia.
It's amazing.
Well, I'm sorry. That's right. Julia threw everybody out of Wildwood. Now she's turning it into like a hospital or something, right?
That was her last. Some stupid thing. She's leaving, isn't she?
Don't say that. I don't think she's... I didn't hear that.
Oh, I heard rumors.
Don't say that.
What were you going to say before I cut you off?
Oh. I'm a little upset about that. I love me some Sydney Penney.
I know she
don't do anything, but there's a lot of people that don't do anything. I've been on the show for years. What's his name? Dixie's brother, Dell. That idiot.
He's done, though, honey.
But yeah, he's still on the opening credits.
Jesse and Angie aren't. Mario Van Peebles
isn't. Even you, babe, got in the opening credits immediately.
Ugh.
Let me wait. Did you see the flashback when Jesse and Angie got married?
And the priest, the
reverend was like, and say this and this, and Darnell was like, and I, and what was that? Oh, it was so
I
funny.
I loved it.
He was so
it
nervous.
Was great.
And so, oh my God, I love it.
Well, meanwhile,
so
people, the reason they got married was because Jesse wanted to have sex with Angie, and yeah, she wouldn't let him.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted to have sex. It was, you know, she was an old-fashioned kind of girl.
But he really loved her.
He really loved her because he was a dog. He was a player.
Yeah, he was like,
this is the woman.
He's like, you want to get married? All right, no problem. Because he loved her. Like, he didn't even think about it. He just wanted to make love to her.
He knew.
But then she was like, I want to get married. He's like, all right, let's get married. So they got married. It was so funny.
Oh, God.
But anyway, so to get back to the story basically happens is that now Jesse is stuck in a basement while Angie's upstairs talking to Crystal. And you know Crystal with a K. She decides that she's going to talk to Angie and make her feel better because, you know, Crystal has sat where Angie sits and she knows how it feels to almost lose a child and to lose somebody you love. And so she takes her home and makes her stay over and bakes her cookies and... So basically, yeah, Crystal insists that Angie stay over. So Angie stays over. And I loved it because Jesse and Tad tells Jesse, and I guess Jesse figures that he'll escape once Angie's asleep. And then Crystal goes to the basement and she goes, who left this? Tad left this door open again. And she closes it. And it's like a latch, like a deadbolt latch. Yes. So it's like another foible, you know what I'm saying?
I know, but it's bizarre. Why would you have the latch on the outside and not in the inside of the room?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, no, listen, I'll tell you the truth. My parents have that. They have a basement. My mom gets real nervous.
Oh, she thinks somebody's going to sneak into the
basement. Yeah, she thinks someone's going to come in from up there.
Well,
so that's
see,
what she does.
If you explain it so that it makes sense to me, I'll buy it.
She does. I
won't buy the satin slayer, but I'll buy
that. No, peanut butter pancakes.
I won't buy the peanut butter pancakes or Dixie Dime, but I'll buy that deadbolt. Okay.
So finally, all right, so Angie leaves. She goes to the airport because she's going to fly away from Pine Valley. And Crystal comes downstairs to the basement where Tad is talking to Jesse. And she says, I don't believe in ghosts, but I do believe that is Jesse Hubbard before my eyes. And of course it is. And so she's all upset with Tad because Tad hasn't told Angie and blah, blah, blah. And so he convinces, you think by the end of Thursday's episode that Crystal's going to tell Angie.
Right.
But she doesn't. And so.
Well, it ain't her place to. Crystal's a little.
She gets a little self-righteous once in a while.
Especially with somebody who like was responsible for us. Switching babies with Bianca and her daughters, though, you know.
Well, meanwhile, I found it interesting, though, that, like, both of them were commenting. Both Tad and Crystal were commenting on the love story that Jesse and Angie had. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have it.
Yeah, see, I kind of was...
don't have that.
I kind of thought Crystal was gonna, like...
realize that.
Well, not even realize it, but say it out loud so the world could know. Because it kind of seemed like that's where it was hitting home.
Well,
you know
she
what
started
I mean?
To kind of, like, you could see like, that like, was going was on in her
Tad,
brain.
Like,
yeah,
some kind of love story. We don't have that.
Yeah, she might as well have said it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because her face said it all.
Maybe this is like seeding the grounds for why she'll probably wind up going back to Adam.
That's Adam. Or something. She's got to do something different because it's not working.
I mean, her and Tad are like...
They got to get Dixie back for Tad and they got to put Adam and Crystal together.
Well, you know what my feeling is about that. I think, especially now with Jesse and Angie back, I'll say it again. We need Miss Liza Colby back in town.
That is true. That is true.
She has too much history with Tad, Jesse, and Angie, and she would be great right now to have back.
She can be replaced, too. Liza can be replaced.
Beth Chamberlain, Guiding Light, not on contract. I've said it 1,000 times. Anybody watches
Someone
Guiding
will
Light,
listen
she
to
would
Jordan.
Make a great Liza Colby.
Well, anyway, so of course, Angie forgets her whole wallet and her whole passport and her whole ticket, excuse me, to go to leave. I know, it's so dumb. So I thought it was funny, though, because she calls Crystal and she says, yes, Crystal, I left my wallet and I can't do her.
It's hard to do her. She's got a very distinct voice.
I left my wallet and my...
Now you thought of
it. I left my wallet and my plane ticket. I must have left it there. Can you check?
That was a little good.
So Crystal gets it, right? She says, oh, it's right here. So Angie says, Crystal, would it be too much trouble for you to drive it over so I don't miss my flight? And Crystal says, sure, no problem. She hangs up. Like, it's not like I'll meet you at Terminal 6, you know, I'll be there in 15, I'll call you when I get there. She's like, sure, no problem. Well, Ashley, she hangs up.
This is Pine Valley, not LaGuardia Airport in New York.
You know what I'm saying?
There's probably one terminal and one airplane.
It seemed abrupt. You know what I'm saying? It seemed a little abrupt. It's a soap.
Now you're
all right, fine. I'm nitpicking. Fine.
Now you're nitpicking.
So then... she sees Angie at the airport, and of course, there's all kinds of technical problems that they're having. Now, where is she going? To Philadelphia?
No, she's going to New York.
Oh, come on.
But there was some problem with the plane being delayed. So then Crystal says, well, you should take a train.
Full well knowing that Jesse is at the train station.
That scheming little minx Crystal.
That's right. But then Tad gets it in his head, right, that he gonna affect Jesse's outcome too. He wants to send Jesse to the airport to see Angie. So he says, he gets out of the train station attendant that Jesse's going to Toronto.
Yes.
So he finds that out and he tries to get Jesse to take a plane. Mm-hmm. And it don't work.
But I loved when he was bringing up Jenny to Jesse. He was like, my sister's not here to tell you, so I'm going to tell you. This is a boom. I was loving all
that
those scenes.
Good.
Let me tell you something. Those scenes between Jesse and Tad, and you know that once all this is over and Jesse's gonna, like, back in town, him and Tad are going to open up their own little detective agency. And then we won't need little Detective Aiden. He can leave Pine Valley.
Let's hope. One can only hope.
But they got so much chemistry, Jesse and Tad.
What was with those haystacks?
I have no idea. Somebody that was watching the show with me on Friday was like, what's up with the... I was like, I don't know. It's Pine Valley. I don't know. Maybe it's right next to a farm or something. I don't know.
I'm assuming that somebody had the bright idea of covering up something with haystacks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was like...
It was a little silly. But it was fun. So Jesse's train gets delayed.
Right. But wait, what was up with the train? Did you notice how the train looked like it was like right out of 1908?
It did!
It was so Victorian. I was like, good Lord.
Listen, people, I'm going to say right now, I take the train all the time up the Hudson River line. It goes into Grand Central. You go up the Hudson River. It's a commuter train, people. The doors go bing, bing, just like the subway.
It's a step above the subway. I did like it, though. It gave it a really nice, like, turn of the century effect. But it was cute.
All right. It was cute, but it really did. It looked like it was like out of 1913, out, like, yeah, where women had gloves and hats and they're like velvet drapes. You know what I'm saying? It was a little quaint, I must say. For lack of a better word. Anyway, that was a good observation, Judy, because it's true. I was like, what's going on here? So anyway, this is where it gets a little confusing, people.
Yes, editing was a little confusing.
I don't think it was editing, though. I think it was intentional. Because they mentioned that not only did the plane have problems, the train had technical problems, too.
See, you keep saying that. Did they say that?
They said the train was delayed 15 minutes. Remember when Jesse ducked behind the train haystack?
Yeah, but the train being delayed has nothing to do with the train coming back.
Okay, listen. So maybe this is what happened. This is what I think happened. Well, let's lay it out for the people.
Maybe they'll explain it on Monday why the train came
back. I know y'all are watching, but in case you missed it, you have to be nuts to miss it. You have to be crazy.
You have to be out of your mind. You have to be in Zimbabwe to miss it.
That's what I'm saying.
And even in Zimbabwe, they were watching it.
That's right, on SoapNet. So, what happened was Jesse's train is delayed, but he gets on the train.
Yeah, he gets on the train.
Now, Angie's obviously not going on the same train.
No.
Because he's going to Toronto.
Well, she would have been because he because his train, wasn't his train going to New York first?
Okay, so maybe. Possible.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
So he gets on a train, and Angie gets to the station, and she realizes that she missed the train, or she just sees the train passing, or whatever it is.
Oh, my God.
She looks up. She looks in the window, and in the passenger side is our Jesse looking out the window.
But you get it. The train was coming by, and she's looking up, and it's coming by because it's just pulling out, and it's slow, and she just looks, and her head's turning, and then it cuts to that stupid red Campbell ball, and I was very upset.
I was so pissed.
And see, let me tell you something. This is how you know it's a good soap opera when you get like that, because I haven't felt this way in years, and
when you throw a shoe at the television, and your man Carlos yells at you because you leave a little scratch in the corner.
I know.
That's when you know it's good television.
It cut, and I'm like, no, go back, go back, and then go ahead.
So after, then all of a sudden it cuts back.
Some stuff, and it comes back.
And the train is going, chugga, 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 chugga.
And the song starts
playing. And the song Alicia Keys starts playing. And all of a sudden, Angie looks up and she sees a recognizable head.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks and she says, Jesse?
Wait, we couldn't hear her at first. You were hearing the song and it was from Jessie's perspective.
Right. That's
so
true.
You just saw her mouthing it.
Right.
Oh.
She just mouthed it. And then Jessie looks out. Now did Jessie see her?
No, Jessie didn't. Jessie doesn't see her.
And all of a sudden she screams, Jessie!
The camera comes out to her perspective and you could hear her.
And then she looks up and she says, Jessie! And then all of a sudden this train starts chugging away and she goes, Jessie, come back! Jessie, come back!
And she jumps.
Jessie!
And she jumps on the tracks and she starts chasing the train.
And then she collapses.
And she collapses.
In grief.
And when she comes up to the close up, the mascara is running down her face.
I'm crying and crying.
I was a mess.
And crying.
I was a mess.
It was insane.
It was.
I
let me tell you something.
All up and down my body.
That is acting, people. Wherever she drew that from, it was somewhere deep down in her soul,
in her bowels.
A pain that I believe that this woman saw the love of her life that she thought was dead for 20 years. That's how good she was.
And then all of a sudden, people, that train, she walks back defeated, her mascara running, all the tears wet her entire face. It looked like she took a reverse shower. All of a sudden, she walks away dejected, and we hear chugga 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 chugga. For some reason, which is yet to be explained,
hopefully on Monday,
the train comes back.
Right.
Now, here's where I'm forgetting, because I couldn't see through my tears and mascara running down my face.
She sees the train coming back, so she turns, and she's holding on to the rail, and she's just looking. And the people start coming out, and she takes a step down. This was great directing and camera work, let me tell you. So all of a sudden, I don't know, the steam or something was coming from the train. So as the steam's coming to the train, it gets to the instrumental part of the song. And then she steps down a little further with hope in her eyes. And then through the fog or that steam comes Darnell Williams, Jesse Hubbard. And just as you can see him, the line from the song, How Many People Really Know What Love Is, comes on, and I was a wreck.
People, he's
a
crying.
A wreck.
He's,
you don't know.
Up, people.
This is why I watch soap operas, to Absolutely. Make me feel. This is what people have been forgetting what soap operas are about. We want to be invested in these characters. We care about these characters. We're there when they lose somebody, when they love somebody, when they get married, when they have a kid, through ups and downs. They are
that's
family.
Right. That's
they
right.
are all my children.
Absolutely.
And that's what I felt on Friday for the first time in God knows how many years. I felt like I was watching my soap.
It was amazing.
Our soap was back.
But I had to throw a shoe at the television anyway.
Because they cut. And
because
that was
they
it.
Cut it.
It was then. And I'll tell you, I am going to be there Monday at 1 o'clock on the dot.
Well,
I'm not even going to DVR it. I'm going to be home. I want to watch this.
On Super Poster's page, mm-hmm. All right, he has his blog. Our friend Super Poster, who heads the All My Children fan space, a wonderful resource for all My Children fans. Go to myspace.com/superposteroftheyear. He had the preview for when they meet.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at the pictures,
mm-hmm.
and I'm crying. Like it's just online and explains like picture shot by shot of what the actual promo looks like. Mm-hmm. This is not even watching the live promo. This is watching just the pictures of the promo. I'm freaking crying like crazy. But what they show in the very end is they show them, Angie and Jesse, hugging and kissing like each other's mm-hmm. face.
Well, that's the way it should be.
And we didn't get that on Friday.
Well,
so I had to throw.
They want us to come back.
I know, but I still had to throw the shoe, and Carlos still got mad at me.
You know what?
I didn't throw it at the TV. I threw it towards the frame of the TV, near the speaker, so it was okay. It didn't leave a big mark.
Do you know what it should be like, though?
What?
Do you remember when Nina thought that Cliff was dead in the Amazon jungle? And she hired Matt, that fortune hunter, to go help her find him, and she thought he was dead, and she given up all hope. And meanwhile, Cliff, all with that long ass beard, because he is in the jungle for like months trying to survive.
Oh, comes, yes!
And when Nina opens that door, and she does not know it's Cliff, and Cliff is there, and what was the first thing they do? They had sex. That's what you do when you find out the person you love the most, you thought was dead, all of a sudden alive, you know you're gonna bang them out.
That is crazy.
So I heard that Jesse and Angie do the deed on Tuesday.
Shut up!
Yes,
how did you hear that?
I got my sources.
That is a spoiler.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is a spoiler alert. All right.
It's not a big spoiler.
Well, shoot. That has to be coming. It's not a plot twist. It's not a plot twist. Look, I would be like, forget about how you're alive. Let's just have sex. And then you can explain it to me afterwards.
What do you do after? It's like, hold on. He's been dead longer than they were alive when they knew each other. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying?
But look. That's the love of her life.
She's lived a whole lifetime and more since she's been with him. But
it always comes back to him, though. She ain't with Jacob and her divorce. She's not with Jacob anymore.
I know.
And every relationship she had after Jesse wasn't great. Her and Cliff, her and Remy. What's his name? Eddie Earl Hatchett played Remy.
Right.
Anyway, I'm just guessing about Remy and Eddie Earl Hatch. But anyway.
I don't know these people. He does because he is brilliant.
Cliff Warner?
I know Cliff Warner, of course.
Yeah, so
Cliff and Nina were a super couple.
All I know is that All My Children is rocking right now.
It's rocking
and
people.
When they had that commercial and they said All My Children is bringing it back, they were not joking.
They
All My Children
is
bringing
joking.
It back.
All they need to do, though, I really think they need Dixie. I love Katie McLean. I do.
The
woman has gotten a raw deal.
I
all
gave
around.
You a storyline of how to bring her back.
How? Say it again.
I told you, David Hayward her dad.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
If the man comes up with some drug that's going to help Maria, like, lose her memory or forget her memory or gain her memory back, if he could do all this crazy or come up with some kind of horny thing, he can come up with something that's going to make
thing.
It seem.
Well, are you talking about libidazole?
Yeah, that stupid thing. He can come
I love
up,
libidazole.
Look, he can come up with some kind
Listen,
of drug.
I take libidazole any day over peanut butter pancakes.
He could come up with some kind of drug. And I think there is some kind of drug that can lower your heart rate so it appears that you're dead, but you're really not.
Like Snow White.
Yes.
Snow White took that drug.
It would make so much sense that he was be. And then you bring back one of the best villains on All My Children, too.
Who? David Hayward?
I like David Hayward. I like David Hayward at the beginning.
I ain't so into
when,
him.
When Leo died.
He's too
like.
You know what I'm saying? He's too like evil doctor.
I didn't say they had to bring him back as a regular character. Just bring him back to explain why
got
Dixie.
A job. Don't he
why
got a job?
Dixie. No, I think he's off Young and the Restless already.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Honey, the soaps are not doing well. They can't afford to be paying people big money. That's why they keep hiring all these young kids.
Do you want to talk about anybody else?
I don't know. I'm spent right now. I'm just like that. To me, that was all that All My Children was about. But I will say this. I am so glad. If I'm not mistaken, I do think that they finally got Frankie on contract. Mr. Cornelius
really?
Smith.
Really?
And
love
I got to tell
him,
you, he is.
Love him. Love him.
He is just. Too much. Like, he is just, that is a young, up-and-coming actor.
Gave me a little secret before that he is, I could see on his face, he is bursting to tell you, but he
what?
Does not want to.
I don't
You don't
know
have
what,
to if you don't want to. I understand. It is the toppest secretest information in the world.
Alert. That's a spoiler alert.
It's a little thing that a little birdie told him that he wants to share with y'all, but he's
not,
worried
it's
about
not,
it.
It's not definite, though. It's like it's a something that they could be toying with, and I think that they should do it. That's what I think.
All right, so it's not a spoiler alert per se.
It's a bit of gossip, but the thing is that it's you know soaps nowadays they change plots mid thing if they don't think it's gonna work. But I think they should go ahead with it. I think it's gonna work.
All right, people, let's put a disclaimer on this particular reveal. You didn't hear it from us.
You didn't. It looks like. Should I say it? It looks like they might be toying with putting Frankie with Colby.
Ooh.
And
you didn't hear that from us, people.
I think they should because, first of all, Colby needs a storyline. And that boy that plays...
She's too skinny,
what's
people.
What's that boy? What's that boy that...
other,
and she already has the jungle fever,
Dre,
so...
Dre.
Yeah, Dre needs to go.
Dre
he can't even
go.
Act. So, look, I think they should put Colby Frankie because there's a lot of history there.
He's too old for her.
He's not
She's
too old
She's a baby
for her.
Girl.
Oh, please. He's not too old for her.
She's too skinny.
Look, there's a lot of
people,
history
you gotta
there.
Write into her. She's
there's
too skinny. She's losing too much weight.
There. There's
she
a history there.
She used to have theta. She used to have a little belly roll. None of that.
There's too much history there. Could you imagine Liza Kobe's daughter hooking up with Jesse and Angie's son? Because in area you don't remember, Liza accused Jesse of trying to rape her years
ago.
I
remember
so that.
That
Jesse would get in trouble. Oh, that's when Liza was at her most evil.
Ooh, she was evil.
Ooh, she was evil.
And
Marcy Walker was good,
Marcy
too.
Was
Marcy
so
was
good.
So good. And like, so could you imagine?
That's a great, great
and
possibility.
And Adam has no love laws with Jesse either. He was not, like, Jesse used to be a little pain in his butt too. So there's history there. That would be awesome, awesome storyline possibilities. Especially if you bring back Liza.
And you didn't hear it here.
You didn't hear it here. But I would be all for that. Because you know what? He's great. He is a great actor. He has so much. Oh my God. I can't. I mean, he is. And he's a good looking guy.
Well, I will tell you another little piece of gossip that Jason shared with me.
What did Jason tell you?
Number one, Jason was the only person of y'all to write in and give us a critique of Charm. He said it was a light breezy read. He said it was good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said it was good. And second of all, Jason also shared with me a little posting he saw on Gawker.com about Ms. Levin Rambin. Is she
going to leave?
She's a troublesome teen.
Is she going
to
leave?
She wants to leave.
Well, I told you about what she did in Soap Opera Weekly, that bizarre article.
She wants to leave. She's trying to get out of contract because she was supposed to be my super ex-girlfriend or whatever. Remember that movie? She was supposed to be the girl, the young girl in it. And she couldn't do it because she was on contract to All My Children.
Oh.
So she's really kind of bitter about that. So she's eager to become a big, like, Lindsay Lohan type. But she's so eager to become a Lindsay Lohan type that she actually is living that life. Mm-hmm. She's going a little nutso.
Really? Well, what was it in the...
Apparently, she is with this... She's really good friends with this, like... I don't know, Jason, I don't remember exactly what newspaper, but she's like a National Enquirer, or like the Star reporter. She's like a reporter for all the rags, this woman. Mm. So she's an adult. Mm. And she's supposedly best friends with Levin. Well, apparently, Levin slept with this woman's boyfriend.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. Like, the girl's 17 years old, going to 18. And she's already found, and the tabloids are loving it. And this woman is, of course, because she's involved in this business, is sharing this with the tabloids. And it's just bad, bad, bad news for Levin. And I don't even take glee in telling you this story, people, because she's a young girl. And, like, she's messing up.
Well, I don't know. I just think it's time for her to get off the show anyway.
That's she doesn't want to be there. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, I don't want her there.
We saw her once. Oh, yeah, it's true. We saw her once this week, right? At the Campbell's Fusion
thing.
Yeah,
that was once too much. I don't think there's any...
She doesn't want to be there. It's clear.
I think both her characters are done for. There's nothing more you could do with it. It's kind of bland. It's kind of boring. They need to move on.
Well, I guess we'll move on.
And did you hear they finally announced that it's true? What's his name is leaving?
Yeah, Jeff Branson.
Jeff Branson.
He's gone.
I have to say, I'm sorry about that because I like him as an actor. I don't necessarily know if I agree with everything the character did. Like, I still thought it was so horrible that they made his character kill Edmund Gray.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, whatever the excuse was, I don't care what, you know, I just...
Well, they made Edmund Gray a killer before.
I think him as an actor, you know, he's good. I hope he gets work on another show.
I think he's excellent. I think he's very good. And I think he's good looking. I guess we could talk about the whole fusion thing, right? I mean, we could start out with, like, first of all, the ridiculousness that is Kendall worrying about Aiden. First of all, we got the whole Kendall is, like, hyper, super, you know, paranoid about Greenlee knowing anything and Zach knowing anything, that she's being so super dumb obvious.
Yeah.
Because we started the week with them going to Chicago. Right. And she's, like, practically attacking Aiden. And then it turns out that she's nauseous. And then she looks at her ancient, archaic Palm Pilot. Did you see that cell phone Palm Pilot? That thing was from, like, 1982.
Hello, props.
Thank you.
Updated.
It was ridiculous. And all she does is worry. And she pukes on a plane. And it was funny because Kendall and Aiden vowed to never tell the secret that they slept together.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who was the first one to break that promise?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, you know, and what kills me about this particular storyline about the Kendall fearing that she's pregnant is how obvious it is. Like, they're making it so obvious. Like, she buys a pregnancy test, right? And the woman cannot keep that pregnancy test in a bag, in a pocketbook, in a paper bag. She has to pull it out constantly to show it to all of us and to everybody else that's around. She's in the plane. She pulls it out of a bag. We know it's a pregnancy test, all right? You don't gotta be pulling it out on a plane. And then she has to hide it from Zach because she's got it in her bag and he keeps futzing with her bag. And just the whole thing is so stupid. And then they go to Chicago. You should see Jordan right now. He's completely sat back. He's tuned out because he could give two craps about this storyline.
I agree with you. I just hope that they're not going down that route because – I gotta tell you.
Why? You mean Kendall having an 18th kid?
Leah, I think, first of all, the character's she's way too young.
She's the most fertile woman in Pine Valley.
The character's way too
young. But being 98 pounds.
Way too young to be having so many kids in the show. And then once you start latching on all these kids, it makes it kind of difficult to take the characters in different places because they got, like, all these kids running around. And plus, she will become, like, ghetto trailer trash.
She is ghetto trailer trash.
She will have three kids from three different daddies.
But think about it, too.
Her babies will all have different daddies.
But think about it, too. The other
she might as well be on welfare.
But that's right. But what's the other variable?
What?
They all should have been Greeley's kids. She got Ryan's kid, right? Now she gonna have Aiden's kid? Ian is maybe the one exception. But yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But now she'll want Ian's kid because she's falling in love with
him. I mean, come on now. It's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's I hope she's not pregnant. I just hope that's so stupid.
I'm just laughing about how fertile this woman is and about how she has to show the whole world. She's at the Campbell Fusion party, right? She's thrown away the pregnancy test because she decides after she, okay, this is what happens. Zach comes to see her at the book signing in Chicago, and she gets all nervous and freaked out. And she keeps talking about Aiden, and Zach's like, oh, I don't mention Aiden. And so she's like, forget this. Let's go upstairs. So they go upstairs, and they have sex. Now, they have sex like he's on top of her, pumping away sex.
I thought that was gross.
Wasn't it weird?
I thought I was watching a porno. Really,
it was weird. Because you had, what was it? Was it Jesse and Angie, and then it cut to, like, him on top of her?
It just cut to, like the humping. I was like, and it was, like, a quick scene.
And her little tiny head was, like, peeking out. It's like she can't breathe.
It was a little too porno for me.
It was really a little porno.
And I'm not a prude, mind you. I have no problem with sexy, like, romantic hot scenes. And I'm forgetting which show just recently had it. Ooh. Lipstick Jungle had a really hot. Kim Raver and that young boy, they had an incredibly hot scene. So I'm not a prude.
Sexy.
I'm not prude, but there's a difference between hot and sexy and just porno.
Yes.
It was a little porno.
Well, so then they have that, and she's like, I've decided to throw away. I don't need anything else, or I've lightened my load, or something like that. I didn't mean it that way, people. That was an innocent blunder.
I don't think she lightened her load. I think he lightened his load. Oh!
You knew he had to go there. He had to go there. That's all right.
I'm sorry.
At least the storyline is giving you some entertainment.
Yeah, some entertainment.
She throws away the pregnancy test. So she has to buy another one, of course. Duh. Uh-huh. So she's at the Campbell Fusion party, the model show, the fashion show. And she pulls out this big-ass pregnancy test at the bar. She pulls it out because she's gonna take it. She's like, I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna take this test right here. See, this test, pregnancy test.
The bartender?
I don't know. She might, like, as well have been.
I gotta go pee on the stick.
So she goes and she takes that big ass kitten, and who does she see but Greenlee? Now, in the meantime, we have had Greenlee all week. Like, Greenlee was a little over suspicious of Kendall when Kendall answered Aiden's phone on the plane. Mm-hmm. That was a little dumb. But all week we've had, like, Greenlee and Aiden bonding. Like, did you see him painting her toenails? Yeah, it was a little silly.
They have no chemistry.
Well, I was laughing because at one point when she's leaving the hospital, because this is the week that Greenlee leaves the hospital, she goes to kiss him, and they're kissing, and I swear to God, people, Rebecca was puckering with her lips so tight so that not barely a space could escape, so that there was no possible way Ada could kiss her with tongue. I swear.
Yeah.
She was pursing her lips like she was kissing a lemon.
Aiden, your days are numbered.
Number. And she's trying. Someone on one of the blogs said that they thought that their chemistry was getting better, but I don't agree.
No.
It's a bad scene, people. Now, can I just add, I'm going to interject a little off-topic thing. Miss Unpronounceable, Miss Unpronounceable, you need to send me your pronunciation of your name because I don't want to butcher it, because I don't want to disrespect your name, because it looks very beautiful, but I can't pronounce it. Miss Unpronounceable commented, because she works in hospitals.
Uh-huh.
She said there is 110-pound weight minimum for donating blood. So ain't no way Miss Erica Kane could donate no blood. Because at 98 pounds, that woman would pass out.
You do not know she's no 98 pounds. She you is don't know that too. For sure.
She ain't not breaking 110. No way on this green earth.
Well, look, all I got to say.
She's 4'9" and 82 pounds.
All I got to tell you is that I am so, every time you say the Campbell, like Red Bull or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Frizzle, this product placement thing is getting so ridiculously tacky. I mean, it was one thing when Revlon
really
was
bad.
Involved. But you're talking about Campbell's soup. I cannot take this serious when it's Campbell's soup.
They keep talking
Everything
people like
Campbell.
They're like
the soup.
They're like, have some fusion drink, like because one of the products is V8 Fusion. And uh-huh. They're like, I like the name.
Yeah.
Or they're like, have some Prego spaghetti for vitamin C. And you're like, did she just say have some Prego spaghetti sauce? Like, it's not working for me, people.
The whole product placement things are kind of annoying.
Well, listen,
but this is how they have to do it to survive.
They have to do it to survive. There's no other way. It looked beautiful.
What, the ball?
The Campbell Soup Red fashion show looked beautiful.
I thought Susan Lucci looked beautiful.
You didn't think the other two looked beautiful?
Who?
Kendall and Greenlee?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about everybody else.
Nah, not so much. Because they're not
dressed
yet.
They're all going to do the fashion show.
Well, we haven't seen the fashion show yet. Not yet.
Yeah, well, I will say Susan Lucci put all those young girls to shame. She looked hot.
She did, people. She looked beautiful. Hot. And I love watching her, like, coordinate the fashion show.
She's so Erica Kane.
She was so Erica Kane. That Karina was back.
Who? Her assistant?
No.
Ooh.
That Karina, that troublesome teen Karina.
Why is she on the show
still?
I don't know.
I feel so sad for her. She's a little pathetic.
Why do they have her still?
She's got like those glasses and she kind of bumbles around, you know?
Who is she talking to?
She was putting yellow flowers in a vase and Erica had to tear her a new butthole because she had yellow flowers, not red.
Oh,
and poor Karina's like, okay, I'll get red flowers. and Erica's like, no, you won't. I'll take care of it. If you want anything done, you have to do it yourself. It was very funny. So basically, we have Greenlee bonding with Aiden. Mm. And she put him in the fashion show. People, I was so embarrassed for him. I was so embarrassed.
I do like when Josh was ragging on him for that.
Yes.
That was funny.
Well, we got one
Josh finally came out for like a minute without a kid, mind you. He wasn't babysitting.
I can't believe what a travesty that is.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting that they're not using him because you ruined the whole Erica getting an abortion thing by bringing this child back to life.
Then you don't
damn use him. At least use him because for once you got the casting right. You got somebody good. I like him.
Did you catch when Kendall was nibbling on chocolate and Zach was like, yeah, you used to do that when you were pregnant. That's all you could eat. Chocolate all day, chocolate all night.
Hammering it in.
Annoying. And then Erica says, are you pregnant? Without even looking at her. And then Kendall had that woman at the airport who was pregnant give her lozenges for nausea.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, this woman's like 200 pounds pregnant and Kendall's like 98 pounds. Yeah. It was like very heavy handed.
How about when Erica dissed Aiden?
Yeah. Yes, that was great. Erica, was it Aiden?
Yeah, it was Aiden because I think she
put me in the fashion show.
So, and she's like,
they put me in the fashion show, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. I love Erica came when she's Erica,
she's fabulous.
When she's Erica, she's like that. She's great. So anyway, basically how it ended towards the end of the week was that Kendall goes to do the pregnancy test. And of course, because the pregnancy test is everywhere but in a private bag or on Kendall's person, Greenlee sees the box and tries to get Kendall to take the test.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendall won't do it. And Greenlee feels bad because she feels like it's because she doesn't want Kendall to feel guilty that she's very fertile and that Greenlee is infertile. So,
don't worry, my best friend. It's okay that you're fertile and I'm infertile.
It's okay that
I have kids after kids, I won't have any.
So, yeah. So basically, Kendall does not take the test, but she tells Erica she did, and that it was negative. But we don't know that it's negative. We don't know nothing yet. And personally, I don't really much care. And then
Greenlee tells somebody.
Oh, she told Aiden. That's
how
right.
It ended Friday on that. She goes, can you keep a secret?
That's right.
So that's going to open up another can of worms.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Throwing roses to the crowd, that Aiden.
remember that?
Mm-hmm. That was tacky. He's such an idiot. I was embarrassed for him. Oh my God.
Can we talk a little bit? I wanted to make this point. I know we're running long, but I did want to make this point about Miss Erica Kane. She runs the most sexist and racist company in the whole world.
I love those scenes, though.
Oh, God. People, in the beginning of the week, she's all pissed off because she had her accounts have been frozen. So she, instead of making a cell phone call or two, she puts all these old white men in a room around a board table and demands to know why her assets are frozen. Why? She comes out with Val. Val, come here, please. And Val puts his big-ass ice chunk on a platter. And she throws it on the table and says, I want to know why my assets have been frozen. You're all fired if you don't tell me. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
Why do her company help, why is it all old white men? I want to know. She got Sassy Pam on a payroll. Why she be having only white old men in her boardroom?
I don't know, but all I know is that I love those scenes. It was funny.
We both said the same thing.
It was right out of Mommy Dearest.
Mommy Dearest with Joan Crawford when she took over the company, the Pepsi company, from her husband.
And that's why I thought it was fabulous, because all I kept thinking about was this is just diva stuff. Love this. Loved it. It was camp all the way.
I didn't like that
she
was so racist as SS. I didn't like that.
I thought it was funny.
She better replace that whole table. Better be Latinas, African-American ladies, Zulu tribesmen.
Asians.
I want to see all kinds of people on that board. Because that's ridiculous. That was. You didn't think
it
was ridiculous?
You have a dream. No, it didn't faze me like it did you.
You know what? It's 2008. You're going to tell me the casting people can't think that maybe a woman might be, you know, in that position.
I'll give you a woman.
But not a person of color?
No, I agree with you on a person of color, but it fazed you. It didn't bother me as much as it bothered you.
That's because he working for the man, you know what I'm saying?
It just didn't bother me. I just thought it was like a camp stand up on Mommy Dearest, and I loved it for that.
If it was 1952, I could have accepted it, but it's 2008, so I thought it was pretty weird. But
she got jungle fever.
Well, yes, it was very funny because
she's like feeling this.
What I absolutely love was when Mario Van Peebles came to visit her.
Yeah.
And Pam was like, yes, we'll do it. Yes, yes, yes. We'll do the interview. And Eric is like, shh. I'm busy today. I can't do today. Today doesn't work for me at all. I'm so sorry. How about tonight? And he says, no, I can't. No, I can't do tonight. Sorry, I can't. So then he thanks her and he leaves. And Pam's like, Erica, what are you doing? That's Samuel Woods. We've been trying to get him. So Erica's like, don't you worry. He'll be back. And 5, 4, 3, 2, ding, ding. And it's Mario Van Peebles. He comes back. And he arranges. They arrange to do the show. And they do it right then and there.
He scares me.
Why does he scare you?
I don't know. He doesn't seem real. Like,
I agree with you. There's something plasticky.
He's very eerie looking.
He looks like an action figure.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't look real. Like, I feel like if you touch his head, it's going to fall off his body.
I think you're right about that.
He's very scary. I don't know.
I think you've hit something there.
I don't know. He's, you know, he's up there in age, too, I guess. I don't know. He kind of creeps me
out. I have to say, I feel so bad for him whenever I see him on the show.
Why?
He was one of the hottest actor-directors of all of Hollywood just 10 years ago.
That was 10 years ago.
But now he's doing soaps.
You make it sound like that's a bad thing.
Listen, I love the soaps as good as anybody, but it would be like Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt used to be on Another World.
Yeah, reverse. He did the trip in reverse. He didn't do the trip. He didn't go to Fight Club and then do this.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I'm just saying, I feel a little bad for him. I'm just being honest, people. I'm being honest. I don't mean to harsh on the soaps. I love the soaps. I'm with you almost two years now doing this thing.
Yeah, but you know how hard it is to do soap work? That's why I get upset when people
Listen,
knock the soap
I'm
stars.
I'm not trying because to let me knock tell you it, baby. I'm not trying to knock. I'm just saying.
I don't think he has a chop.
He was an A-lister. Like some, you know what I'm saying?
He was never. He was a B and a
Mario
B-plus
Van
lister.
Mario Van Peebles was an A-lister.
B-plus, not A. She's going to look it up now on IMDb.
I sure am.
I mean, he's done a lot of work, but honey, look at those titles of some of those movies he did.
He went. We're gonna look. She's gonna. Point.
He might have got. Yeah, look at James those movies. Saying
he went in reverse.
We're gonna look him up right now. Hear the typing, honey. Van peoples, not Vasan peoples.
Hold on. It will find him. Just you watch. See? Right there.
There you go. Mario Van Peebles. Now look. Wait. Watch that movie. Like, this is her A-list.
People have to go to.
Ooh, he's, no. Wait. Look. Wait. That's the movie. Wait.
That's
no.
Reverse. That's reverse.
No. No. Look right here. Come up. Come up. Come up. Come up. How to Get the Man's Foot Out of Your Ass.
Listen.
That's an A-list movie.
I'm not saying that. You people are going in reverse. That is the
Highlander 3, The Sorcerer.
No. I'm going to say it right now. New Jack City, that was a huge movie. I never saw it.
Well, I never even heard of half of these movies. Los Locos, Love Kills, Mama Flora's Family. 21 Jump Street. He was on 21 Jump Street.
I'm gonna kill
and
him
not
people.
And not Ease Bayou. He was in the lower version, Blue Bayou.
He is so mean, people. See, he's laughing. Who are you? He's blowing my A-list theory. Listen, he was New Jack City.
You're harping on one movie out of 55 ghetto movies. Let's see what he's done recently. He hasn't even have All My Children on here yet.
No. Well, he doesn't put it on there.
Oh, Multiple Scars and Law and Order. Carlito's Way, Rise to Power, Soul Food, the TV series.
All right,
Crown
people.
Heights, Gang of Roses.
All right, people, I'm going to move on.
Yeah, she lost the battle on this one.
All right, I lost the battle on that
How
one.
To Get the Man's Foot Out of Your Ass. I don't know what the... All right, anyway.
All right, so maybe... His fall was not as dramatic as I made it out.
But they do have some chemistry, and Ms. Lucci's playing it.
They do have chemistry, she's like, people.
And you know what? Anything at this point over Jack. I wouldn't be upset if all of a sudden Erica wants to follow in her daughter's footsteps and goes after Crystal. I'd be happy with that. I do not want to see Erica and Jack together again. I'm sorry.
I agree, people. I agree.
That is a snooze fest.
They kissed this week, though, at the fashion
so
show.
She needs somebody.
Did you see him, though?
She needs somebody vibrant and... Mm.
I know. I think Mario Van Peebles might be interesting. But did you see when Sassy Pam showed her the tape of their interview? First of all, this interview is supposed to be so brilliant. It was so brilliant, this interview. It was just amazing work. It was stupid. It wasn't that good. But anyway, she goes and shows her the tape. And Jack is watching. And he's like... doing, like, mimicking the tape. He's like...
Jack, it's time for Jack to be written
out. I'm telling you, I would not be sad to see him
The only way you can make Jack interesting right now is if you bring back Mary Smythe.
That is true.
That's when I was enjoying, when that triangle with Erica, Jack, and Mary.
We had a little bit of movement with JR's story. Not much. JR and Adam. We had JR discover that the ring was a fake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And he confronts Adam with that. And then we had Crystal and Babe break into the Dr. Joe's office, mm-hmm. and find out that JR is the only possible donor for Richie. So then we had the whole week of Babe trying to sort of manipulate JR into giving, you know, donating bone marrow or whatever he has to donate to Richie.
I gotta ask you something.
Go ahead and ask.
I gotta ask you something. You know, because I've always heard that the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. And see, Sabine playing Greenleaf,
hold on a second. I gotta digest that, because that is the most profound thing I've heard in 2 years.
See, in art,
I agree with
you've
that.
You've never heard that before?
No.
Oh, really? Well,
because hate is a form of love, isn't
it? Yeah, it makes you feel something. It's an emotion. So, see, in art, as long as you're creating something and you're making people feel and feel passionately one way or the other, then there's something being created. But when you feel indifference, like nothing, then that's bad. See, now, I personally didn't dislike Sabine's acting. I didn't think she was the greatest actress. And I did say on this podcast many times when she's had some really good moments.
You hear Jelly Bean?
Jelly
was upset with you.
I just felt like she should have just been in a different character. Rather than her trying to play Greenlee. But she made the audience feel something. Whether you loved her or you hated her.
Yes.
You felt something.
I think
now,
that's brilliant.
Has anybody said anything about New Babe?
No.
Because I feel indifference. Like, I don't even notice that she's there. She is like, she like blends
she's
right into the
woodwork. She's got a really nice meaty behind, though. When she was standing adjusting that sign at the at the Fusion Fashion Show, her behind looked juicy and good.
There is nothing there.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on upstairs.
I mean, I don't understand why she's even there. Like, almost like the scene will be going on, and I'm watching her talking to JR, and I'm like, who's JR talking to? Because I can't see her. She's just non-existent.
Don't you think Alexa will be back? I think Alexa's going to pull a Rebecca.
From your mouth to God's ear, or from your mouth to the executive producer's ears, because let me tell you something. Either get rid of the character or do something. I mean, there's no point.
I think that's brilliant. I would almost end the podcast on that note. It is so brilliant, except we haven't talked at all about Ryan.
That's my second favorite storyline.
It's good, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know.
Wait. I liked it. Carlos had an observation about it.
What did Carlos say?
Well, basically where it ends up is Ryan still is piecing back his life, but mm-hmm. realizing that Zach has everything that Ryan would mm-hmm. have ever wanted. Mm-hmm. His girl, his kids, and his company, Cambius Industries. And the whole angle, you took my life, mm-hmm. is really good, really interesting. Don't you think?
I do.
Carlos said that. My man said that.
No, and I gotta disagree, because some people said, I was noticing that some people made some comments saying that they didn't think that Cameron Matheson was that good of an actor and that he has to stop yelling.
No, he's been doing good, people. I disagree, too.
I gotta tell you.
Great work.
And I was telling this earlier. When he first came on the show, to me, he was just another himbo, you know? He came on the show with his shirt open and Miss Nurse Gloria was there. And, like, that was the first time we ever saw Ryan with his shirt open. Mm-hmm. But I gotta tell you, over the years and through the different storylines, he has grown as an actor. And Cameron Matheson is a good actor. And the reason I think that he's doing such a great job right now is because, God darn it, I actually believe that he has this memory loss.
Me too.
Like, the way he looks at Kendall, I mean, wouldn't you wish that Carlos still looked at you like that?
That is so mean, people.
See what I'm saying? Like I feel him. Those scenes with Zach when he's just telling him, like, so you have my... Blah, blah, blah.
I feel
that was
too.
Some good...
Big time.
And when he mentioned the fact that he goes... And he says, and I had to find out that my younger sister was brutally...
Because Blandy didn't tell him about Erin.
Let me tell you something. He is doing a fine job. And this is a great, great storyline.
I like it.
I know people say they don't want Ryan with Kendall,
Blandy.
But I do. I do.
Don't want him with Blandy.
And you know what? When you got a good storyline and you got good writing, everybody starts getting better. Because I got to tell you, Blandy I thought was good this week.
She did. Those scenes, honestly, I have to say,
where she was realizing that she's losing her man and she was crying, and her scenes with Jack. This is what I'm talking about. This is a story.
You're telling a story
with rich character development and interest. People have something to lose.
I agree with you about
this
her
is
acting
a good storyline,
and I took notes all week because she's basically dealing. This is a wife
I
dealing
feel sorry for her.
With really losing her husband. Her
I
husband's
know.
Died for all
yes.
intents and purposes.
Oh, this
she
is,
wakes up one morning and her husband's gone.
She's finally given something that she can
and
act
they have
with
a kid.
That
yeah.
wasn't stupid.
That wasn't
you know,
dumb.
That wasn't dumb.
There so
wasn't
I agree that she's doing a good
this
job
is
with it.
Where
but,
they need to go with the show.
But
they
I don't
need
like
to
her, Jordan. I still don't like her.
Well, look, this is what they need
she's
to do.
She's not sexy to me. She's not interesting to me. She's doing a great job. I will not deny that she's not doing a great job with the storyline, but I don't like her. I'm sorry. I don't.
You never did.
She doesn't turn me on.
And somebody also mentioned the podcast about the
hence
fact
that- the name Blandy. Didn't you like them when Ryan met Spike? That's good, right?
I'm sorry, Cameron Matheson's an actor. He can act. He's
although
doing a
I have
great
to say,
job.
I have to say that what I didn't love was Ryan sort of like unequivocal, like even though I don't know you, I'll be your father kind of thing. Because he doesn't know, like, why would he like all of a sudden be father of the year?
Because like, that's his kid.
But he didn't want to have kids. He left Greenlee because he didn't want to have kids. So he had to be feeling that way when he was with Kendall. No?
No.
You don't think?
No.
All right, fine.
You know what? Because he's going through a whole gambit of emotion. And plus, it's the kid that he had with the woman that he loves.
Why did they go on a date at Confusion?
Who?
Ryan and Blandy. That bar is for 10-year-olds. It was like
what
house music
bar?
Going in the background.
What is that bar even exist? Bring back SOS.
Oh my god.
Bring back
so
Haley
funny.
And Mateo's bar.
Well, it was kind of gross though, because like Blandy was like making naked references and stuff. Like, I like to sleep naked. And that's the thing. I know that I'm not attracted to a character when she talks about waking up naked and I'm like not interested. I was like, I was, you know, I was the opposite of not interested. I was like, please do not talk about being naked. I don't want to think about you being naked. Miss Holly Hobby, Miss Mom Jeans. I want to think of you with your mom jeans and your little bonnet on, okay? You know what I'm saying?
You are too crazy.
I don't like her.
You are just insane, girl.
But I love the storyline. I would love it even more if it sends Blandy Packin out of town to Toronto.
Toronto? Why Toronto? Is that where she's from?
That's where everyone's going these days.
I know. What's up with Toronto?
Frankie was in heading to Toronto or in Toronto. Everyone's in Canada.
Oh. All I can say is Jesse and Angie are back, and they've brought back my children.
They have brought us back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh,
kiss me like you're never going to see me again.
Thank you. All right, people. Well, I think that's about it for me. If you want to tell us to blow off, you can. We'll take it. You can email us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can go to our website, which links all of this stuff and even more, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. Jordan Hudson, thank you for being with us this week.
Thank you for having me.
We love having you.
I love being here.
I hope you come back soon.
I do too.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your guest host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you. Jesse!